Last week during the RNC, we traveled outside the Quicken Loans Arena in a beautifully spiffed up downtown Cleveland to East Cleveland, where housing activists are trying to knock down hundreds of horribly blighted buildings to create green space and new homes. Well, here in Philadelphia, they're a step ahead. Development is booming, and it's a big push to replace the city's more than 30,000 abandoned lots and buildings. So how's that going for longtime residents? The little neighborhood of Poplar in North Philadelphia is not unlike other parts of the city. Originally made up of mostly single-family row houses, now it's a patchwork of those old homes, vacant lots and blighted buildings, and also fresh new apartment complexes and coffee houses. It's a drastic change from the 70s and 80s and the vicious cycle of crime and economic decline, helping create blight, which harbored more crime. Arthur Green lives in Poplar. He's been in Philadelphia for decades.
I remember when this neighborhood was severely blighted. All right, a lot of abandoned houses, a lot of boarded up houses, a lot of neglected lots. All right. And they came with the tax abatements, you know, started getting new investors to come into the community. And as a result, you have all this. Like, if you look right down here. All right, this used to be a parking lot, just like this. But now we got all these homes coming up in here. When you get on Poplar Street, back 20 years ago, that land over there was blighted. Now there's, ooh, baby. All right, you know. I mean, those houses are $500,000 a piece. All right.
Well, but so is that a good thing? I would think it'd be a good thing. They're pretty. They look new.
It's a good thing because you have to look how the city generates revenue. All right. And then you want people to come into the city and stay in the city. So they want good housing, good schools. You know, they want to be safe.
So what's the downside?
Well, the downside is, especially in this area, has been gentrification. All right. The people that have stayed here when the neighborhood wasn't so favorable. Now their taxes went up, you know, and they're on fixed incomes. So now they try to sell their homes. And then some people made the choice. You know, they figured when they bought their homes, they might have bought their homes for $12,000. Now they could sell it for $180,000. Yeah, some people went for that.
But then you can't remain in the community because you can't buy back in because everything's gone up.
You go someplace else. Well, that's a personal choice.
Well, so people who have been here for decades, who were the backbone of the community, are leaving. And let's be clear, many of them are African American, and many of the people who can afford to move in are white.
Right, but that's America. We know about, you know, and I'll be blunt with you. You know, America is white supremacy. If you look at the history, all right. I was born in Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay, I saw the KKK march. All right, so we weren't always, you know, treated right or fairly in the land of the free, all right? Yeah. So obviously we're behind on education, behind on the opportunities of housing. We're still fighting for those same things today.
Well, do you think that whites moving into this neighborhood will mean that it will improve those things, education and such, or are you worried because of the history, as you said, of white supremacy?
Yeah, but things are changing. Things are changing, you know. And understand, it's not all white people that think like that. It's people in high places that thought like that. I mean, we're a mixed world. Sooner or later, we got to learn how to get along.
How much did you buy your house for, and when did you?
Well, this is public housing here. All right. So this is, and we need more of that.
So you live in public housing. Does that worry you even more because you don't have mobility?
I'm concerned that eventually, you know, because of the upscale of the neighborhood that PAJ might sell this.
PAJ?
Yeah, public housing. They might sell this property, and then we'll have to move someplace else. Yeah. You know, but hey, they've been talking about that as long as I've been here. So far, we're still here. And I used to be homeless.
Really?
Yeah. I used to live right here in this parking lot.
It's right across the street.
And on that ramp. Okay, for 5 years.
Well, obviously.
And now I'm the ward leader here.
Now you're the ward leader and you were sleeping on the concrete.
That's right.
Well, and now you're going to have a neighbor one block in the other direction who bought a house for $500,000.
Yeah.
Is there something good about that, too, that they may get to experience in meeting you, a person they might not have met otherwise? I mean, you're going to be meeting them, but they're also going to be meeting you.
I think it's good that like I said, it's good that we learn how to get along.
Not everyone here agrees with Arthur that change has a potential good side and is inevitable. Just ask his neighbor a few blocks away, Diane Monroe.
If change is what Arthur, you know, says is beyond our control, that's not a good change.
Diane was born and raised in Philly and bought her home here 35 years ago.
Even though you have maybe better quality houses or... you know, the increase of the people, to me, it has gotten worse. It has gotten worse because our community is dirtier. We're no longer considered as a community. You don't know your next-door neighbor. And the new people, they don't speak. When you speak to them, they don't speak to you. You know, that's my opinion.
It's not just the change in the character of the neighborhood that bothers Diane. As Arthur said, there's a financial cost. Her property values and her taxes were set to triple. Now, we'd wondered, why can't the city give a tax break to longtime residents?
Well, you know, we actually have a program just like that in the city of Philadelphia called LOOP. It's the Longtime Owner-Occupant Program.
That's Ann Fedulin, director of the Planning and Development Cabinet for Philadelphia. And that LOOP program is what kept Diane's taxes from skyrocketing, although they did go up some. Ann says that improving the city is a balance of combating blight with new development without pushing people out.
So if you've been in your house for 10 years or more and you have a certain income and your taxes go up by a certain percent, sort of a big increase, you can actually enter this program where your taxes are frozen for 10 years. And recently, I believe in the last session, City Council extended it. So once that 10-year period is up, if you still own your home, you can reapply and keep doing that until such time as you sell your house. So we're trying to keep homeowners and those folks in the communities. I think the trickier part is what do you do about the rental units? And so we also have a provision in our code that allows developers to get a density bonus if they provide affordable units on site or invest in the housing trust fund we have here in the city.
Yet you still have this issue of, you know, some blacks feeling like it's a purge, that they're being purged from their neighborhood.
And I think it's important that we recognize and acknowledge that and not sort of sweep that under the rug or say, yeah, but look at what's happening in your neighborhood or look at this.
It's a nicer neighborhood that you just had to leave.
Yeah, and that's not okay, right? It's not okay to have that as your answer. So I think we have to start by listening and find out what are the amenities that are important to them and what are the things that they really value in their neighborhood and try to build off of those things. But honestly, we also need a national housing policy. We need some help. Our budgets have just been drastically cut, and we can't do it by ourselves. We really need to view housing as a moral issue and a human right, and we need to fund it.
Well, you've got the Democratic Party in town. You've had the Obama administration in charge. What would you say to Hillary Clinton?
That we need resources, and we need real resources, and that it's not just an economic or a development issue, but it's a moral issue, and everybody deserves a place to call home. And
But you get federal dollars for housing.
Our federal dollars have been cut by almost 50% over the last 10 to 12 years, and the implication of that is literally hundreds of millions of dollars in investment, because every federal dollar we get, we then leverage that with private and state and local dollars. And so maybe we get one federal dollar and we leverage it 10, 14 times over. So when we lose, you know, $50 million, that really is literally hundreds of millions of dollars worth of affordable housing.
Well, we leave you with closing thoughts from Arthur about his changing Philadelphia community.
But when it comes down to change, everything changes. Nothing stays the same. As beautiful as you are right now, all right? There was a time you were more vibrant. Then we get older, and we change. I'm not going to have a 28-inch waist anymore, okay? But everything changes. But it's your attitude that needs to change, too.
Arthur Green, resident and ward leader in the Poplar neighborhood in North Philly. We also heard from Ann Fedulin of the city's Planning and Development Cabinet, and another resident, Diane Monroe, who is against the gentrification, as she calls it, of her neighborhood. You going through this where you live? Send us your thoughts at hereandnow.org.